Okay, we'll, excuse me, call the meeting to order here this evening and start out, did we have Rodney?
He never checked in.
Okay. He was going to make a video conference in, but so at this time then we will stand for a moment of silence and then pledge the flag back here. Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All righty, we have agenda. Any modifications to the agenda this evening?
Yes, Mr. President. I do have one item that I added since last week's meeting. We finally received the stipulations on the Yoder appeal. If you recall, we discussed that back in October. And we finally, after Kellen's persistence, we finally received them and we're ready to vote on them. They're exactly as was presented and discussed.
Okay. So something we had discussed and agreed to, just taking the final actions, and we're adding that in.
That's correct.
Okay. Any others? All right. Hearing none, I would move. I would look for a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
All right, Tom. Any other discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The agenda for this evening is approved. And I believe we have a Student of the Month presentation.
Thank you, President Yoder, members of the school board. This month, the month of May, we are looking at students who have the characteristic trait of that of selflessness. So the young man that I'm going to introduce to you this evening is certainly selfless in all that he does. I'm going to introduce him now at this time. Noosh Fah, if you wouldn't mind standing up and heading over to Dr. Hollister. Noosh is involved in a variety of extracurricular activities here at the high school. Most recently, he was part of our boys' volleyball team that just concluded its season. So I wanted to introduce to you this evening, Noosh Fah.
Congratulations.
Unfortunately, our female student of the month could not make it tonight, Samantha Walsh, but I'll be sure that she catches up with Dr. Hollister. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
If I could just say a word, too. On behalf of the superintendent's office, I also want to thank you and acknowledge the achievement. We can't honor and recognize students enough, but we all know that, no offense, Dean, because I'm going to take a shot at the papers here, but the bad news makes the headlines, there's a lot of great things happening in all of our schools and communities, and there's a lot of great kids. And you want to remind us of that this evening by earning this award. I also want to thank your parents who are here, because I'm sure they're a part of that too. Know that when we give students awards, one of the costs of that is that we are going to continue to ask more of you. So while we recognize your achievements, By awarding you a certificate and a medal, we're also saying we need you to keep doing that, keep doing what you're doing. It's almost a calling to say you've done a lot and now we're asking for more. So keep that in mind. I'm sure you'll have other pursuits and wherever you go, you just make sure you always remember that you wear our high school label on your back, Hard Spot High School. So make sure you do that with pride and make sure you do that for our community as well. So thank you.
Okay, thank you for presenting that. It's always good to see the students here. So, guess then we'll move on to citizens' comments. Is there a show of hands? Were there residents that wanted to address the board this evening? Okay, two? Is that it? If you would come up first and just state your name and where you reside.
Sure.
My name is Marty Fickes, F-I-C-K-E-S. I live in beautiful downtown Five Pointville. You ever been there?
Yes.
And my wife is a alumnus, 1977 Garden Spot. My daughter, class of 2016. Both started at Recknock. I'm Jessica in 2003, and my wife back during the Lyndon Johnson administration. But they both came all the way through here and are proud to be part of Garden Spot. What I wanted to do, if I may, is simply what I do at home in private every day, and that is pray for this proceeding and for those who come in and out of these buildings. Father, I thank you for the privilege as a citizen to be able to come here and lift this group and all those who pass through these doors before you. I want to pray for the students at all the different schools, the elementary, the middle, and the senior high, who are living in a culture that sometimes is counterproductive to their growth. And I pray that they would continue to focus on what they learn here, both the life skills and the intellectual skills they pick up here, because both are very reliable. Both have proven to be very good over the years. I know that that doesn't come automatically, so I want to lift up the administration as well, and the teachers here at this school and at the other institutions, who are trying to walk that ever tenuous bridge between what parents want and what the community wants and what they know these children need. And I thank you for the administration and teachers you brought to these schools. I've met many of them. Each one has been just a wonderful person and really truly dedicated to what these kids need in their lives and seeing them grow and succeed. So I thank you for them. I thank you for this board as well. As I get older, I realize what kind of commitment and sacrifice and kind of wisdom it takes to sit in these chairs. And I pray that you would be here among them as they meet today and give them the answers that you would have for them, that they would be looking again at the future and the present of what's happening in these schools, and that all of our kids and our families would be blessed by it, as our community already is. I thank you for Eastern Leicester County School District, and I offer all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Marty, we'll be sure to make sure that, that we share with your wife. You're the only person who's come to visit with us who's managed a mini roast.
Yeah.
Get home before I call, Marty.
Boy, it's tough to follow a guy on radio. My name's Jim Shirk. I'm from the metropolis of Goodville. Thank you for the chance to address the board tonight and to talk about ag education here in Alaco. On behalf of the Ag Advisory Board, we have some serious concerns that the decision to not fill the open ag educator position will begin a spiral towards the end of a meaningful program here at Garden Spot. Agriculture is a large part of the fabric that makes up the district, both economically and in the quality of life that we enjoy. Our industry does millions of dollars in business and employs thousands of people here in Elanco. New Holland is a major player in one of the biggest agricultural counties in the United States. We have large multinational companies with headquarters in town. CNH, Tyson Foods. We have research facilities at Pioneer and major East Coast animal buying stations like the New Holland Sales Stables and Goods Livestock. We have nurseries, we have farm markets, organic CSAs, produce auctions, fertilizer businesses, feed mills, manufacturers like MNAGB. And don't forget the retail side that we all see every week with Yoder's and Shady Maple and J.B. Zimmerman's and Tractor Supply and many, many more. The opportunities are endless in this area. And no district outside of Philadelphia has more agricultural businesses on its tax rolls than Elanco. We take these things for granted. With an increasing world population and a demand for ag employees, this program exposes many students to their future careers. The Elanco Ag Education Program that began in 1959 with 17 students has been a strong reflection of your recognition of agriculture's impact on our community. The 219 students enrolled today work hard and have received many levels of recognition and accomplishment. In fact, our program in 2012 was voted the outstanding secondary program in all of Pennsylvania. Some of these accomplishments over the past year also include a lot of things that are they're too much to list. I have a handout, if I could have maybe one of our board members help hand it out here. But some of these include passing the 339 review, which is a high bar, and they did it with flying colors. We've had the 3-star National Chapter Award from the National FFA Convention. We have 2 chapter members who are just elected to the county FFA office, including our county president. We've had an American degree recipient, plus 8 seniors. This past year received a Keystone degree. The Whole Hog fundraiser raised $3,000 for Tyler Lehman, a student here with cancer. They raised over $2,000 to continue the Robert Hurst Scholarship and the Tracy Martini Memorial Fund by raising and selling 2 goats at the New Holland Fair. The list goes on and on. There's a tremendous, and this is just 1 year's worth of accomplishments that I wanted to share with you here tonight. These are experiences that students have because of FFA. I'd like to emphasize that fact because FFA is an intracurricular part of the program, not an extracurricular part of that education. It's a very large and successful service and leadership development program that teaches lifelong skills for our students. Reducing the number of educators in half will have a significant impact on this experience. About 3 years ago, we presented to the board, and the board approved a 5-year strategic plan to grow the agriculture program in both quality and quantity for our community. The program has been growing in both areas. Today, Elanco Ag Education is under duress with a perfect storm of challenges to the program and its legacy. Let me highlight just a few. Staffing is probably the biggest one. The sudden passing of Tracy Markeating and the retirement of Bob Wofford was something that no one could have predicted to happen so quickly. From the end of January of 2014 to July of 2014, we went from 50 years of ag education teaching experience to 6 months in that short of a time. And it's just a few months ago, our new teacher, Caleb, has decided to pursue another opportunity. And we're very glad that he's able to find something he really wants to enjoy. Any program or business with this much change would struggle to survive and much less grow. The FFA homeroom was not scheduled, and our brand new teachers had limited access to some of the students. It made it very challenging to do effective planning when you're in a different room every day. And finally, a loss of college credits and science credits is hurting some of our enrollment. When we lost Bob and Tracy, we did not have credentials to continue two of the college classes. That's in the process of being corrected. Regarding the science credit, it's my understanding the NCAA Clearinghouse determines which courses can be placed on an approved list. We fought that battle before. When the program changed from Agriculture 1 to Academic Agri-Science, with the program essentially the same content, the course was taking off the approved list. Sherry Bunting, who was a school board member at the time, had two sons in FFA who were Division 1 athletic recruits. She went to bat and was able to get the courses resubmitted and the science credit was reinstated. We hope that this may be able to happen again. So with all of this background of a successful program undergoing major changes, what we are asking for tonight is for a full-time replacement for the Caleb position. The ag education program is still transitioning from the sudden loss of two teachers. We need more time to establish new classes and increase the existing enrollment. We understand that it's very difficult to run a class with limited students, but ask for an opportunity to build and regain our enrollment, to get the certifications for college credits and science credits reinstated. The Ag Advisory Board will rebuild our strategic plan and address specifically improved communications with students to make sure our classes are very full for years to come. The time is of the essence. We will get a higher quality teacher if we hire a full-time teacher now rather than later. We again appreciate all the support you've given over the years and ask you to take our considerations under consideration. Thank you. We have another board member here from the Ag Advisory. Is there any questions or anything that I can help answer? I know I was long-winded, so I apologize.
No, that's great.
Mr. Sherr, do you mind sharing a copy of that?
Absolutely.
The board at some point?
I'd be glad to email the comments to you.
Yeah,
that would be helpful.
You guys are forced to talk in 5 minutes, and it helps to get
I flew through it. Yes, sir. Very good. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Okay.
Could I just add one thing?
Yeah, if you want. Yeah.
I'm Dave Horst. I'm on the advisory board also. I live in East Earl. It's on the paper, but when the two new teachers took over, they took the students to nationals this year, and they placed sixth in the nation. So even though we had two first-year teachers, they did not take a step backwards. They actually maybe took a step forwards. And I really appreciate if we showed them the respect they deserve. I think they've earned it, if you look at what they've accomplished this year. Thank you.
And where are we as far as enrollment? That's pretty much cut off for next year. I mean,
well, it's never essentially cut off, but the students have selected their courses for next year, and scheduling is well underway, obviously. So, if we would consider adding a teacher at this point, we would physically have to go out and find students and try and advertise courses. And it would be a lot of work for our guidance staff and our administrators to shuffle classes around and make sure that they're populated. Not impossible at all, not even close to impossible. It seems like every year something happens that our counselors are in here doing extra hours anyway. This would just be another year where we need to lean sponsors to shop the schedule.
Any other comments or questions?
Well, I'll just comment. Glenn and I are both graduates of the program. The FFA Ag has made a strong transition from when 76 when I graduated to now, from a predominantly male farming oriented program to I guess you'd say it's predominantly female at this time. Most of the students are, well, it's a different type of approach. You know, it's not so much farming oriented anymore as it is careers in agriculture related. Yes, you've had more obstacles thrown at you than most programs in this school to challenge you going forward. And while the new teachers have stepped up well, there's no substitute for experience and knowing how things are, you know, experience over the years of how to deal with recruiting students and those types. But I will just say that that program will not die as long as I'm on the school board. There have been other programs that faced challenges and had reduced teachers at the time and were brought back when the numbers were there to warrant adding more teachers. We just went through it recently when we had like 13 teachers off that we brought back as needed. So it's I know you're concerned. I feel it too. You have a voice in this board that there'll be people here willing to step up if the need arises.
Any other comments or questions? Well, we'll certainly keep discussing it and seeing what our options are. And I too, obviously, I gained a lot from my time with FFA. And incredible opportunities and programs, so we just have to find a way to get the numbers back up and going forward. Okay, yes, we are at the special, we have a special presentation.
Yes, Mr. President, we have actually two presentations. The first, I would like to announce that a student who will be graduating in a few weeks has achieved an incredible acknowledgement from Congressman Pitts. So I'd like to have Julia Urban just stand for now, and Tony Myers, her teacher, if you could stand up as well, Tony. Every year, Congressman Pitts hosts an art contest, and we have managed to get a few pieces in over the years, I believe, Tony, but this is the first year we've ever had a first place winner, Julia Urban. It was that person. The artwork that she did is in the back of the room on the easel in the corner. Tony, I don't know if you would like to add. I didn't want to steal your thunder. Do you want to talk a little bit about the process and what all happened to get Julie here? And then also what happens down the road. You know, there's some exciting things coming up, too.
I would love to. It's a pleasure to highlight a student, a talented student such as Julia. By taking first place in this competition, her work will now hang for one full year in the Cannon Tunnel, that is a tunnel that leads down into the Capitol in our nation's capital in Washington, D.C. And Congressman Pitts will host her and her family down in Washington. And it's just a real honor. And I honestly don't, you know, I'm here almost 20 years now, and I really cannot recall us having a first place winner. So it's really, really special. And she's very deserving of this honor. She worked really hard. She's very meticulous. If you take a look at her artwork, she did a charcoal on black paper, and she's very detailed in how she shows the texture and the hair. And if you look at the sweater that the little boy is wearing, if you get up close, you feel like you could almost touch it. I mean, it's that real looking. So she's very passionate, very self-motivated, and to be a student in an independent study course at the high school, you have to be very self-motivated yourself or you won't succeed. And Julia succeeds. Every day I've watched her, and she's just a remarkable, remarkable young lady. Had a real pleasure having her.
Thanks, Tony. Mm-hmm. We have a round of applause for this. Thank you, Julia. Is there there anything you want to say? Yeah, I didn't put you on the spot. Thank you, that's good.
How long did it take you to, roughly?
I think 20 hours.
At least.
Probably longer than that.
If I could do, just to make a comment, since Tony's here, we are blessed to have folks like Tony, and even throughout our art department, we really have some amazing teachers. Now, Julia, we're celebrating Julia, but behind Julia are her parents, and also a whole bunch of teachers who helped guide her through the years. We really are blessed. We have some fantastic art teachers. And I'm so thrilled that I can say that and have all the examples out in the lobby. I'm speaking from the heart and from the truth. You can go look at it yourself. So thanks, Tony, because you're here every year, and we always are in the hunt for something, but this is the first place. So this is really, really exciting. So thanks again, Julia, for all your extra effort. And again, I'll say, like I said to the student earlier, you know, when you leave this community, and some of our most successful students unfortunately will probably leave this community and stay away. Just don't forget that you wear the Garden Spot name on your back, and you carry this community of New Holland's reputation with you where you go. And that's a great honor, and that's a great responsibility. So thank you very much.
Great. And was that any other?
Another presentation. This one, I've asked Mrs. Martin to speak to you, to address the board in an official capacity. Not sure how much folks remember or are aware, but we are evaluated every year. Is it every year, Tara? It's basically an audit, twice a year, by PDE, and we are scored, and we are given scores for our program. And I'm here to tell you, our programming is awesome for our special education students. I had received an email, this actually got started from Sue Sneed, who was celebrating some teachers at her school, and I went to Karen and said, you know, you need to share this, because unfortunately, you know, we hear about when we did something wrong, and we do sometimes, and we admit that. We occasionally make mistakes and continue to get better. But I'm here to tell you, with these evaluations, we did amazing, and I'd like Karen to sort of share some of those results with you and what the audit is all about. Thank you.
Good evening. We're thankful to have tonight a chance to speak to the board and the community members. To speak with the board and community members tonight about our autistic support programming here in the district. And this is Tanya Artis, our special education consultant who supports our autism program in K-12 in the district. We thought it might be helpful to show a brief video from Patton about the Pennsylvania Autism Initiative. And it has Mike Miklos and Amir Stapuglia, who are both behavior analysts who have been in our classrooms. You'll see a lot of our students and some of our teachers throughout the video because they use us as a site for a lot of their training videos. And then after the video, we'll speak a little more in depth about our specific scores.
I'm Mike Miklos.
And I'm Amir Stapuglia.
Open!
Across the country, we are faced with an increased number of students with autism.
In Pennsylvania, we are addressing this need through a comprehensive, evidence-based approach to training and technical support.
We're making it possible now for teachers to implement evidence-based practices in public schools. To date, we've trained staff at over 300 sites across the state to implement effective interventions based on the principles of applied behavior analysis. This process involves building local capacity that results in outcomes that are self-sustaining.
Boot camp. We provide participants with a 3-day competency-based training.
The training incorporates several components: choral responding and guided notes, a check for conceptual skills through a written assessment, as well as providing oral definitions, and finally, analog checks of teaching procedures.
Intensive skill training, also known as boot camp, has yielded performance-based outcomes.
And we have documented that nearly 100% of participants meet the competency criteria. The competencies gained through boot camp have led to better implementation. Site review. Implementation is measured by pre- and post-assessments of consultation effectiveness through a site review process. The site review tool has established inter-observer agreement. It is completed by a behavior analyst who does not consult for the site they are reviewing. When first developed, the site review tool included 45 items. Our current site review includes 61 items and documents the following components: organization of classroom environment, instructional materials, and data systems, development of local consultative skills and training, inclusive practices, and family engagement. The site review process also documents instructional practices for discrete trial training, man training, vocal training, group instruction, social skills training, and natural environment training. The last component on the site review addresses a function-based approach to behavior management procedures. Over the past 9 years, participating sites have consistently shown an increase from fall to spring in implementation of the site review standards. On-site training. At the classroom level, training occurs through guided practice. Instructional performance feedback is direct and explicit.
Processes and procedures are manualized in writing and in video models.
Treatment integrity. Data on instruction is obtained through a transcription process of intensive teaching sessions and man training. Treatment integrity checklists have been developed and used to review natural environment training, direct instruction, problem behavior management procedures, and a wide range of instructional protocols.
Student outcomes. Consistent implementation is only worthwhile if it results in meaningful student outcomes.
In 2010, we reported VMAP outcomes for 122 students. During the 2012-2013 school year, all students we reviewed showed progress, and most of them made gains well beyond their estimated baseline rate of skill acquisition. Student-level program data has consistently provided measures of skill acquisition resulting from instruction.
Our efforts have included a behavioral approach to language and social skills, an environmental analysis of motivation, an operant analysis of instruction and behavior management, and a pragmatic approach to data collection and database decision-making.
Social validity.
Many teachers report great satisfaction with the model because they see outcomes in their students. In Pennsylvania, we've helped students develop effective social communication functioning through MAMS training, through intensive teaching, and through other forms of effective instruction.
With systematic planning and effective instruction, children are better able to participate in meaningful ways in the general education curriculum. These outcomes are the result of dedicated efforts by many consultants, teachers, administrators, and other professionals committed to improving the lives of the students they serve.
Our work is done in the public domain.
To access our materials and resources, please visit the Autism Initiative at patton.net.
To the level of the intensive defense training here that we actually provide that boot camp here on site. I just wanted to talk a little bit about what the site reviews look like from a teacher's perspective. So Amiris has been coming into Elanco for the last 6 years, and when she arrives, it takes about an hour and a half to do a site review just in one classroom. So it's pretty intense. But the teachers are always full of anticipation to wait and see what their scores are. When you walk in the room, what that looks like is her just observing the environment, looking at a schedule, seeing who's doing what, and if they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. She checks program cards, program materials, and really goes over everything in great detail. Then each student has their own program book, and in that book, she looks at their assessment data, their target data, graphs to see what progress they've made, what kind of database decisions have been made in each individual student's programming. In addition to the program book, she also looks at consultation notes from Patton and also from the Elanco consultants to see if we're making recommendations in alignment with evidence-based practices. She also looks at all of the school home communication folders that the teachers send home to see not only are we reporting about the daily activities, but are we taking the parent trainings that we do each month and sharing information with parents in regards to what students are learning and what their mastery levels are. We also do a parent training monthly, and at that time we allow and invite the parents to bring their children with them, and we provide child care for them so the parents can get ongoing training. In addition to that, I asked Amiris, what are some things that you would say that highlight Elanco? And in that, she commented that the level of dedication, professionalism, and the degree of evidence-based learning that is occurring in every classroom in the program is amazing and always in the best interest of the student. She compliments Elanco for taking the program to a level that exceeds the site review criteria. Every year, she's impressed with the level of integrity and the intensity in which students and parents receive support, not because it's required by law, but because it's in the best interest of the student. So on the one portion of the video, it talked about the typical scores for site reviews in the fall is 49%, and then in the spring is 79%. And in the spring, there are 61 components, so there are several components more than in the fall. So I'm very pleased to share and recognize the achievements of our teachers tonight. Of our five elementary classrooms, three of our teachers scored a perfect score of 100%, one of them being a brand new teacher, first-year teacher. One scored a 98%, and one scored a 95%, well above their expected 79% score. In our middle school, our teacher scored a 93%, and our substitute teacher scored a 61% without participating in any of our trainings, just from our in-classroom coaching. So we're really excited to see what can happen when that teacher participates in all of our intensive training and BB boot camp. And the high school, very pleased to share as well that they scored a 95%, and one teacher scored 100%. So we are well above what is expected and well known in the area for our autism support programming. Tanya has a short story to share with you of what happened this morning at one of our meetings that we thought would be nice to share.
I was invited to a contracting district to be a representative from Elanco as a student transition from early intervention into school-age programming. And as I arrived at the table, I was introduced as the special ed consultant from Elanco's Autistic Support Program. And at that time, both parents' eyes filled with tears as they looked at their special ed supervisor and said, "Thank you, you've answered our prayers. Thank you so much for getting my son into this program." And it was probably one of the proudest moments I've ever had, and to represent this district, it's an honor to be part of such an amazing team that I work with every day. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? You should have a copy of the site review in your folders.
Thank you.
Thank you.
you so much for your hard work. And I too am so proud of this program. And when you watch the video, you know, we all know that with autism, the difficulty in connecting, and you can just see these kids connecting with the staff, and you can see the caring. So I thank you so much, and you really do our district proud.
All right, thanks a lot. It's always good to hear good news. Was there any other?
No other presentations, but I just let me also express my thanks for the hard work. I know it's a lot of hard work. Many of Kara's and Tanya's folks are in the district office many hours. Right? The school days over, updating and trying to do things, and it goes all the way down to the aides. I have said to this board on many occasions, there are angels working in those classrooms, and patient people they are. If you visit our autistic classrooms, it's a tough place to work. It really is. You really have to love what you're doing, and they do. I'm also proud, like all of you. It is awesome to see some of our own students. I recognized a couple of them in the videos that the entire state is using to train and to learn. So thank you and compliments to our staff.
Okay. Moving on then to the consent agenda, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Awesome. Is there any other discussion on the consent agenda this evening? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. And the agenda is passed. We had a item that we had a discussion last week, and we put it on as a separate action item. We had some questions, and I think, Mr. Ramsey, did you have some new information for us?
I do. As you know, we discussed this last week regarding whether or not to renew the football insurance only. You recall in 13-14, we were all sports, we reduced to football only with the plan to then eliminate it as the Affordable Care Act enters its subsequent years, and where the most everybody needs to have insurance. So just a couple things that I wanted to hopefully address from those questions that we had last week. I did talk to Andy Atsuka, the athletic trainer, asking how many claims, how many injuries that we had last year that were given insurance claim forms. He said we had total of 9 that he's given forms, and I asked our carrier how many claims were submitted and paid. There was only 1. So we only had 1 last year, a claim that was submitted for insurance, and that individual, that parent, did have insurance, so it wasn't like they were uninsured at that time. I also asked Mr. Litz 2 questions that came from the board. 1, can we ask parents that have a child playing football whether or not they have health insurance coverage? He basically said, yes, we can, as long as they know why we're asking. And we've done that before when we had football only as well for the other sports, just to make sure that there was other insurance. My next question, follow-up from that, is can we deny them from playing football if they don't have health coverage? He strongly recommended that we don't do this, of course. He said under the Affordable Care Act, there should be very few students who do not have health insurance in some way, shape, or form. He did recommend that, depending on the results that we have, that we have the parent, if there is a student or a player that doesn't have insurance, that we strongly have the parent sign acknowledgement form where the family is responsible for injuries. Following up to that, I also surveyed our districts in the IU-13 and did not come to my surprise, but the majority of them do offer the insurance. There is 1, however, Palmyra, that dropped it 3 years ago. They said that, you know, really no one seems to miss it. It was rarely used. They do have a waiver form, which our solicitor did recommend. And they said if they don't have insurance coverage, they'd steer them to the CHIP program. That's the state program, which goes along with what Mr. Litz has shared. So I think that answers all the questions that came up, and I don't know if there's any more at this time.
Any other questions? I guess we can either take an action two or not, or I mean, it's on as an action item.
Right. You would have to take an action item
to accept it, to
renew it, or to not renew it.
So, did anybody want to offer up a motion either way?
I would offer a motion that we do not offer any coverage. In this case, it would be the football-only insurance coverage that we would not be renewing for the coming year.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. I'll work with the athletic department to get the information out.
Yeah, make sure the parents do it early. Okay, very good. And then we have some information items. I think it's Dr. Collister with the policies.
Just a reminder, we're not approving the policies tonight. We're trying to take our time with those because some of them are brand new, and there's a lot of devil in the details with these policies. So please take some time to read through them for next month. Next month, I will ask for action on these policies. Again, much of it is dictated by regulations, so there is not a whole lot of flexibility, but there are a few little pieces, as I've shared with you last week, where we have a little bit of flexibility to personalize. But for the most part, they're critically important that we get them approved next month because the regulations for some of them go into effect July 1st.
Okay.
Oh, and if you have specific concerns or questions, get them to me in an email so that I can address them in a timely fashion next month.
Right, very well. Got some good late night reading material.
I won't take that personally.
I understand it. It's important, very important, but it's. And Lancaster County Tax Collection Bureau.
We do not have a meeting this month. Our next meeting is June 10th.
All right. Lancaster Lebanon, IU 13.
The IU board met on May 13, 2015. One of the items which will concern Elanco and some of the information items for discussion is the IU will be offering background checks to the districts through the IU instead of having to go to an outside agency. The IU should be announcing that to the districts very soon. That program was put in place. We just have to do the final details and get the people trained and the hardware and software training done so that people can come out to the district, which they will. They'll actually come out to the individual districts and do it on site, which will save a lot of time, energy, and money to each of the individual districts. We also approved 11 business service contracts, 18 early childhood and special education service contracts, 6 instructional service contracts, 1 technology service contracts, and 4 human resource contracts. We had 12 resignations, 2 retirements, 1 termination, 5 new hires, 11 change of positions and salaries, and we approved 3 leave of absences. If anyone has any questions on any of the board actions at the IU, I'll be glad to answer those questions now, or if you have any as you read through the board report that I gave to each board member, I'll be glad to answer those on an individual basis.
Mr. Irvin, you mentioned that we'd save money if the IU is facilitating. Do you know what cost that there's going to be for the background checks? I mean, for how that's going to work, or has that not been determined?
We don't have a final cost.
Yeah.
If you go out and do it on your own right now, it's about $50,
yeah,
plus you have to go and do it.
Right.
And so it'll be considerably less than that.
Okay.
And it may be then that we can somehow help subsidize that.
Yeah.
Hopefully maybe through some booster clubs or something that for volunteers, I'm hoping we get something in place that the volunteers that want to, that say they just can't afford it, that maybe we can help with that.
Right.
sounds like a good option. All right, any other questions on the IU-13? All right, thanks, Paul, for that. Lancaster CTC, Mrs. President.
The JOC met on April 23rd. We were at the Willow Street campus. We had a presentation by Doug Long. He's the instructor for the manufacturing clusters, which is sophomores and juniors, and it's a half-day program. He bought robots for us to watch. Remote control, things they had built. One of them was built to flip over. That was kind of neat. One could actually pick up a tennis ball, and one was a claw that could pick up. He sent it after an aluminum can, and he picked up the aluminum can, and that brought it back to him. They were built by the electromagnetical program. The program gives an overview of welding, electromechanics, and sheet metal. He said that the students are often amazed at what they've done. When they did the sheet metal work, a lot of it was blueprint reading. So they did it, they read all the blueprints, they learned how to do that, and then he told them what math skills they had used to do it. Because if he tells them the math skills first, they're like, oh, I can't do that. But by doing the reading first and then finding out what math skills they have used, they're very thrilled and very, they've learned it, they've done it, and they're thrilled to know that they've done it. So it was an interesting presentation. In terms of budget for the CTC, for skills, national skills and HOSA competitions, the cost is a little more than $19,000. We pay half of the student fee and all of the instructor fees for the instructors that go. A little more than that is budgeted for it, so that cost is coming in under budget, so we're doing real good. The comprehensive marketing plan that the CTC has mapped out is continuing. If you've seen some of the commercials on TV, they run on Fox 43 a lot. If you remember in the fall, they did the football frenzy with Fox 43. I don't know if that's going to come for another year or not, but they are continuing. They've renewed another year with the same company to do a comprehensive marketing plan. For the adult education, there are some tuition increases for this coming year's programs. The part-time programs are increasing tuition at 5%, and the full-time programs are increasing tuition to 10%. Yeah, 10% of what is a 10% increase. There have been no increases for the past 2 years, so they've thought that now is a time that they do need to increase the programs. So that's my report. If you have questions, I'll try to answer them. Once again, there are wonderful, wonderful things going on at the CTC at all of the program sites.
Any questions or comments? Okay. Yeah, it's always fun to hear some of the creative things they do there. Thank you for being willing to serve on that. So, legislative, Mr. Wenzel.
Yes, one thing that's supposedly on fast track in Harrisburg is pension reform. According to Senate Majority Leader Jay Corman, the plan would be for a 3% higher rate, which would bring the new rate to about 10.5% on future earnings to maintain the current benefit program. If the employee chooses not to participate in that, it would be a 2% multiplier with a contribution of 6.25%. All new employees will be in a defined contribution plan. We'll see if anything happens. Nothing has happened in anything up in Harrisburg this year so far. If you look in the paper, they had a checklist, incomplete, as you go down the line. So we'll see as we get closer to the budget. Budget is the most pressing issue on the legislator's mind right now. And obviously that has a June deadline of June 30th. I will meet that, but see how that works out. Also, another House Bill 1039, which would give flexibility in hiring substitute teachers. Basic criteria, U.S. citizen, bachelor's degree, accredited institution, background checks, all that. Mainly aimed at low-tech schools of that nature. However, you could only serve 14 consecutive working days for one person in that situation. Something else that was in the news a few weeks ago gets kicked around every once in a while is reducing the size of the state House and Senate to save money. I got a chuckle from one House member felt the Senate should be eliminated. So as long as it isn't my seat, I'm good with it. I was just talking to Mr. Ramsey before. I think there's only one state in the union that has one chamber. I think that's Nebraska, if I'm correct. They seem to function all right there. So it would definitely save a tremendous amount of money. I think it would reduce 25 to 30 state House members. I can see legitimacy in this plan. We're not in the old communication so good this year now to get constituent services out there. Will pass, no, but I think it would be definitely a right direction for our state to save money as we go forward. And of course, tomorrow's a big day. It's a big day. It's election day. It's always a big day. Any election is a big election. As I stated last week, local elections have more direct influence in our lives than the national elections for the most part. Your councilmen, your township supervisors, five of us school board members run for election, so it is an influence. It's your chance to have hands-on more than any other office that's up for election at the time. You also get the lowest turnout. I'm proud to say, like I said, I love this time. I've loved it since I was 10 years old in 1968, watching the presidential election. And since I was eligible to vote in 76, I have not missed any election. So I just wish more people would take it more serious. And I also say, even if I don't agree with the way you're going to vote, please get out and vote. Because so many people, so many cemeteries are full of grave markers for people that preserve that right for us to have that freedom to vote, unlike so many other countries in this world. Thank you.
Thank you. Good comments. Any other legislative issues? All right. And moving on to the superintendent's report.
Thank you, Mr. President. A couple of items, some good news. Items, Brecknock Elementary held its sixth annual day of service. For those of you who have been here for a little while, you remember Lisa Horning. Lisa Horning was a teacher at Brecknock who lost her battle with cancer. And ever since then, the students have, in order to honor her, have had a day of service. This year, they chose the Ronald McDonald House for their donation. So they donated, they collected things like books and crayons and things for kids, but also toiletries for parents and those kinds of things. So I just thought it was a wonderful way to do two things, to remember a teacher, because we all start to forget after time, and Brecknock's not letting that happen, and they're making something positive out of it. So congratulations to all of the students and the faculty members who continue to make that happen at Brecknock. The second item I have, we represented ourselves very well in a recent health summit. Jackie Hollinger and Julie Groff. Julie Groff is our health coordinator here in the district, and you know she's got a lot of energy and lots of ideas and is always doing something new. In fact, I was a little bit late coming in here because they have a huge activity going on right now up in the gym area to try and encourage wellness. I digress. Julie and Jackie were at the Lancaster County Health Summit a week ago. It's a conference made in Lancaster County for healthcare placed in the community and in businesses to encourage healthy business operations. Our district applied for an award, a Well Workplace Award, and we finished second by only 4 points. Now that sounds pretty impressive, but then when you start looking at the folks that we were competing against, it becomes all the more impressive. We were competing against businesses such as Benchmark Construction, High Industries, CoreSource, and local hospitals. There were 33 applicants in all, and we finished second. So again, kudos to the folks who, you know, those early morning meetings, Dr. Zimmerman was a part of that committee, 6:45 once a month in the morning, they're getting together, they're the ones who bring you some of the different activities that we do, the walk that Julie talked about here recently, and all the other things. So there were only two other school districts that were even willing to apply, and that was Effort and Penn Manor. So congratulations, that's a small team of about a dozen people who do a lot of great things for not just faculty, but also students and the activities that they host. So congratulations to them. The last item I have is just a note. There's been a growing interest in Girls on the Run. If you're not familiar with Girls on the Run, it is an awesome curriculum. It's a national curriculum. Basically, girl empowerment, and I say girl because it's what it's called, Girls on the Run, for elementary students. I attended that for my own daughter on Saturday morning at F&M, but I was very proud to see three elementary schools from Eastern Lancaster County School District among the field of over 1,500 kids. It is a cool experience. If you've ever get the chance to do it, if you know somebody who's doing it, a niece or nephew or your own children, please go and see that. It is a great day. Over 1,500 students ran a 5K with their running buddies, and it's quite a scene when some of those students are coming in towards the end of the race. So I was, again, very proud that our faculty members donated their time and not compensated to do that work. They met twice a week for many, many weeks. As I know, my wife was a coach for our elementary school. It starts in the cold of winter, and they prepare for this race. And it's a great morning for our kids. So thank you to the faculty members, and congratulations to all the young ladies or the girls who participated in the curriculum and ran the race. I have a number of announcements on top of the superintendent's report. CTC award ceremony, that recognizes all of our CTC students. That ceremony is scheduled for May 26th. They have three locations in the county that we will split ourselves up and make sure that we're all represented at the various locations. Anyone is welcome to attend. If anyone's interested in attending a CTC graduation sometime, please let me know, and I'll make sure you have a seat on the stage with the administrators and other board members who attend. That's May 26th. Graduation, as was announced last week, is set for June 5th at 6:30 p.m. A reminder that we will broadcast that ceremony into the auditorium for those who need a more comfortable seat. We've been doing that for several years. Those seats are open. Come as you are. No tickets required. And also, we will stream graduation as we've done for the last number of years. So anyone anywhere in the world can watch our graduation live. We've had folks from as far away as Alaska that I know of who've watched graduation in the past. So that's very exciting. Compliments to our tech crew for pulling all that together. Baccalaureate is scheduled for May 31st at 7 o'clock. That's here in the auditorium, just outside the lobby in the C&D auditorium. That is student assembled, student orchestrated, student run. All our students do all that for baccalaureate. They will be the program. Tomorrow evening is our senior awards, and I would like to acknowledge Mr. Sanger. We switched that up significantly. In the past, that ceremony was sort of getting a little bit stale and routine, with sort of some of the same students just doing a circle and getting up and going onto the stage. He's changed the venue to a dinner situation where the students will actually sit down with the folks who are hosting the scholarships and get a chance to actually interact and meet one another. So parents and the scholarship host will meet the students who are actually earning those scholarships, and we'll do that a little bit differently this year. I'm excited about the change of operation there and the way that venue's going to work. So that's tomorrow evening. If anyone would like to stop in and just say hi, or stop in and take a look, I'm sure we could even find you a meal if you want to hang around and sit at the table for a while. So that's tomorrow evening as well. I think that's everything major. There's a lot going on at the end of the school year, a lot of things to see and do, and it is an exciting time. It's a stressful time. There's a lot of anxiety, particularly for some students who are hoping to get to the the next home. But it's also a time when everything kind of comes to fruition. There's a lot of assemblies, a lot of awards assemblies, productions, etc. So went to the music concert last week for students. So there's just a heck of a lot going on right now too, and it's mostly all good stuff. So congratulations to all, and we'll keep our fingers crossed for the couple of weeks that we bring it into home safely and with high achievement for all. Thank you.
Thank you.
One further announcement. I do have a need for an executive session for a personnel matter, a legal matter. That's it. Legal and a land matter. Sorry. I'm trying to get them all. Land matter, legal matter, and a personnel matter.
Okay. Any other announcements?
To remind everybody that last week Heidi Zerman resigned from the school board, and on his application to say if anybody would be interested on serving to be for the rest of her term, which is 2 years, I believe. Monday, June 8th, subcommittee of the board will interview the candidates that come forward, and we'll make a recommendation to the full board for approval. And so if you, anyone out there is interested, or you know somebody who might be interested, go to the school website or call Dr. Hollister's office.
One clarification. The position is for the remainder of this term up until the election, and then it would be theoretically for the next 2 years. You do need to be, the person will take a seat on the board until the election, at which point they would need to be formally elected to fill out the 2 years.
Do you know exactly who has to petition the Board of Elections to get that added onto the ballot? Do we do that as a school district?
I believe we have to inform them that we have an open.
So we should do that.
I think the deadline.
Mr. Johnson will take care of that.
Yes.
I think August is the deadline to get names in.